From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 11th day of July 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about that rainfall that swept across parts of Iowa and into Illinois over the last 24 hours, where the rain might go from this point, and more importantly, what's happening along the state lines that run from North Dakota and Minnesota all the way down to Nebraska and Iowa. The big dome of high pressure there will remain hot and dry over this coming week, says Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. We'll hear more about that as we wrap up our program. And along the way, we'll take a look at the agricultural energies as well. Crude oil is in the mid-40s, but gasoline is under $2 a gallon here in Champaign, Urbana, and other places across the nation. What does that all mean in context of commodities across the planet? We'll take that up with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, Wayne, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Todd. I'm glad to be able to be here. Glad our power's back on and the storms moved through.
No, so we did have a storm that moved through. This is the thing we need to talk about. I suppose there was weather that came through a large swath of Iowa across the portions of Illinois that were dry in central Illinois and then made their way right into your area. How much rainfall do you think we've had over that time frame?
You know, we're probably somewhere around 2 inches over here. Before the windy and the real hard storm come in, we'd had somewhere between 8 tenths and 1.5 inches, and we surely got over 1 inch on the second storm that come through and knocked our power out for a while, and I had a lot of limbs and tree down and wires down around. So, a lot of hard things there. A lot of hail in some areas, especially more towards Indianapolis than here. We didn't see much hail, but there was quite a bit of hail in east of here.
This was a long but not very wide stripe of a storm that sort of trained from what Cedar Falls area all the way through southeastern Indiana, I believe. Has it changed anything in your mind?
Well, it changed the action of the markets this morning about 5:30 to 6 o'clock, and when they saw that rain in Iowa and coming through that way and looking at it, we took an upmarket, sold it off, and it looked like it was going to be sort of precarious there, at 7 o'clock this morning. So that was the shot down, and then I think it got getting measured up about how wide it wasn't, and the noon forecast come out, and we really recovered on the day, especially closing higher in the beans and basically unchanged in the corn. So quite a bit of a turnaround from what we were first thing this morning.
On Monday, it seemed, and thus I'm only going to make this notice on the idea of when I called the Andersons, I couldn't get through to them yesterday for the closing market report, that producers were at least calling elevators. Did they move much grain, do you think?
There was a lot of cash grain moved yesterday, Todd. As we talked to some of the guys that talked to the merchandisers, saying it was one of the busiest days they have had in the last 4 years. Dease corn overnight hit a 13-month high. November beans a 3-year high. So that's how we're sitting here tonight, close to those highs like that. And at these levels, what we're seeing guys willing to release some old corn, some old beans that they had left, if not many of those around here though, but and think seriously about this new crop. And they're also thinking seriously about wanting to have some call protection in case that weather continues to turn south out west. I mean, by basically south, the meaning that the rain numbers go down and the temperatures go up.
Yeah, so we've turned our attention specifically to the state line that runs from Nebraska all the way through North Dakota, the Red River Valley, all the way back down between Iowa and Nebraska. That's kind of where the hot spot is at the moment to watch, I suppose.
Yeah, very much so. We were talking with one individual today that went to a machinery meeting, but the man from the machinery country was from North Dakota, and he asked him afterwards how the crops were in that area, and he says they're terrible. They had actually cut and baled up a lot of their corn and beans and wheat before it all just died and withered away. So, and we know that area has been very big on sale barns been selling the cattle off there because they just don't have any pastures left. So it is the Dakotas that and that area that's really pushing us down. But one of the statistics we looked at, if you look at the data from the state showing conditions better than last year, they account for only 9.35 million acres. And on the flip side, the states showing conditions worse than last year amount to 74.3 million planted acres. So that does tell you that there's been some problems all along the way here this year for the crop.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking time with us. Anything else that we need to cover before I let you go for the day?
I think we have a report tomorrow at noon, Todd, at 11 o'clock. So I think, you know, we're going to be watching those numbers. Unfortunately, very seldom do we see much change in this report. They generally use trend line yields. We might see that come down a little bit. We might see the experts go up a little bit, but we might see the residual go down a little bit. So, you know, all in all, it's not looked to be as important as the weather at this point in time, but it is the WASDE report, and something strange can happen.
Hey, thanks so much, and thanks for the reminder.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and we do have a World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report due out at 11 o'clock tomorrow. I'll post my Twitter feed right there into willag.org. You can see the numbers at 11 a.m. Central Time, or just follow me on Twitter. My handle there is at Commodity Week. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of Sunday and into Monday morning, 19% of the corn crop across the nation had silked. The rolling five-year average is 27%. 52% of the crop is said to be in good condition, 13% excellent. Those numbers were 55 and 13 last week. So it's dropped 3 percentage points in the good to excellent categories combined. 34% of the soybeans are now blooming. The rolling five-year average is 32%. 7% of that crop has set pods. The average is 5 over the last 5 seasons. 52% of the crop is in good condition. 10% excellent. Last week, the soybeans were in 54 and 10%, respectively, in those two categories, so it's down from the previous week. A couple of other items before we hear from the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa. Minnesota's numbers look like this. We don't have an update from them, at least in audio this week. 3% of their corn crop has silked this week. The rolling five-year average there is 13%. And the condition of the Minnesota corn crop continues to be really good. 63% good, 17% excellent for combined categories of 80% good to excellent for the corn crop in Minnesota. The soybeans in Minnesota, 25% of the soybeans in Minnesota are blooming. The normal there is 37%. And North Dakota, which is now the number 4 producer of soybeans by acreage as of this year, shows 24% of their soybeans are blooming. The rolling five-year average there is 31%. The condition of the soybean crop in those two states looks like this: 60% good and 13% excellent for the Minnesota soybean crop. And the North Dakota soybean crop is in 44% good and just 3% excellent condition. Now, let's get the updates from the rest of the Midwest.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Hot, dry weather prevailed across Iowa during the week ending July 9, 2017. Statewide, there were 6.3 days suitable for field work. Activities for the week included hauling grain, applying herbicides, cultivating, and haying. Topsoil moisture levels rated 40% short to very short, 58% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 29% short to very short, 69% adequate, and 2% surplus. Over one half of southeast Iowa's topsoil moisture has fallen to the very short moisture level category, with almost one-third of the subsoil also in the very short moisture level category. 7% of Iowa's corn crop has reached the silking stage, 6 days behind the five-year average. As corn in the state begins pollination, many reporters mention the need for rain in the next few weeks. 77% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. One-third of the soybean crop was blooming, with 5% of the soybeans setting pods, 3 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 67% good to excellent. Nearly all the oat crop has headed with half turning color or beyond, 1 week behind last year and 3 days behind average. Oat condition rated 76% good to excellent. Scattered reports of oats harvested for grain were received. Feedlots were reported in good condition as a result of the dry weather, but livestock were stressed from the heat. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Conditions Report for the week ending July 9, 2017. I am Brad Medlock, Agricultural Statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Nearly all of Illinois was warmer than average and drier than average last week. Just the southern part of the state had below normal temperatures, while the rest of the state was generally 1 degree above normal for the week. For rainfall, the southeast was just slightly above normal rainfall for the week, while the rest of the state was below normal. Overall, the state averaged just under 1/2 inch of rain, which was 0.3 inch below normal rainfall for the week. Topsoil moisture declined and is now rated 6% very short, 32 short, 61 adequate, and 1% surplus. 33% of corn acres have now reached the silking stage, compared to 49% 1 year ago and 45% for the 5-year average. The condition of the corn crop declined and is now rated 9% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 63% good to excellent. For soybeans, 31% of acres are blooming, compared to 36% last year and 32% normally. 5% of acres are setting pods, compared to 6% last year and 4% normally. The condition of the crop was rated 10% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 66% good to excellent, which is also a decline from the previous week. Wheat harvest advanced by 5 points and is now 95% finished, compared to 94% 1 year ago and 86% for the 5-year average. Pasture conditions are now rated 7% very poor to poor, 30% fair, and 63% good to excellent, a little worse than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 9, 2017. Thunderstorms in the latter part of the week limited field activity for a fourth straight week. In addition to heavy rain, thunderstorms brought hail and heavy winds, causing leaning of corn in some fields. In some parts of the state, soybeans were yellow and stunted. There were also reports of slugs in soybean fields and high numbers of western bean cutworms in traps. Weed control has been an issue in the wettest areas. Some fields and pastures were in good condition, while others have had problems with mare's tail and Palmer amaranth. Winter wheat harvest continued as weather conditions permitted. Corn was 19% silked, compared to 22% last year and 27% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 57% in the north, 40% in central, and 48% in the south. Soybeans blooming were at 31% compared to 35% last year and 32% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 57% in the north, 44% in central, and 52% in the south. Winter wheat was 98% mature compared to 97% last year. Winter wheat was 78% harvested compared to 80% last year and 67% 5-year average. Other activities included preparing for county fairs, baling straw, and applying fungicides. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 9, 2017. This is Janice Pressberry reporting.
Our thanks, of course, to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of the Crop Progress Report. You can hear them each Tuesday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energy. Stephen Platt is here. He's with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Hey, Steve, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit about what the changes have been like in the marketplace for crude oil over the last month since we talked to you.
You've seen a kind of stable market, actually. We have seen some gyrations around the levels we're currently at $45 per barrel. But really, that was pretty much where we were just 1 month ago. The changes have occurred in both heating oil or diesel. That's up 4% from last month, and gasoline's up 5%. So there has been some strengthening in the product markets, but not necessarily the crude. The crude has been impacted by some of the production coming out of Libya, which has seen a steady increase to around 800,000 barrels from as little as 300,000, 400,000, maybe as little as 6 months ago, along with Nigeria. We're also still being impacted by U.S. shale oil increases. But once again, those certainly have to be, are being reconsidered given the weaker price environment that we've seen here from 6 months ago when the OPEC members did come up with their production curves. We do have a pretty important meeting coming up in late July by OPEC monitoring. They are looking at production levels. They do want to shore up prices in order to provide, given that they have cut their output levels. They are looking at both Nigeria and Libya as possibly starting to participate. They're currently exempted from the current agreement and will be looked at closely in terms of the impact their higher production levels do have on the market. Tomorrow, we will be getting the DOE numbers. Those numbers have been important in terms of disappearance levels for both gasoline and heating oil or diesel. And that we are expecting at least the numbers on crude oil to be down. That's a seasonal pattern, and I think one that probably limits how much lower we might be able to get to. On the product side, I do feel that the lower prices are starting to encourage demand, particularly given the stability we've seen in terms of the U.S. economy, along with overseas economies as well, that could also provide some support to the market and maybe see this market maybe try to move back up toward that $48-$50 crude level in time.
On that note, gasoline usage would normally go up in the summer months. Has that been the case? And do you see more demand underneath the market than just a normal seasonal blip up in the movement of gasoline? And what about diesel fuel?
Well, the gasoline has been probably more sluggish than people would have liked and has, I think, been a throttle on the market. But we are, as you said, going into the seasonally higher summer months. And I think the demand side, particularly if the economy gets going a little bit and people start taking their vacations and start driving more, that will help the market to some degree. But there have been changes made in terms of efficiencies with cars, that is tending to limit the expansion in gasoline demand. On the diesel front, though, I do think that has been helped by, first of all, it is a more efficient fuel. The other factor is certainly the economic progress that we've seen in terms of the U.S., that probably is also supporting demand. Diesel or distillate demand overall has for this year gone up as much as 7%. That's pretty impressive in terms of the gains there.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day at Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here now to help us take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions of the nation. Hi, Don. Thanks for being with us. Let's start with that great big ridge that's holding hot weather over the Great Plains states. Can you tell me more about it and the problems it's causing?
Okay. Well, this high-pressure system is very typical for this time of year. Usually when you get out of June and into early July, we see this area of high pressure develop over the nation's midsection. And it's real important because where it decides to develop and where it decides to move dictates where the moisture flow is going to be and where showers and thunderstorms are going to go. Initially, there's good news for some of the areas of the southwest and west central areas of the state that are in fires right now: Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah. Portions of Wyoming should be getting some better chances of rain in the coming days. Some of that will extend northward into eastern Montana and North Dakota. However, those areas that you mentioned that are having some trouble, while there is some rain in their future, it's not going to be enough to eliminate their very dry conditions. And then as we look further east, we also have some dry areas across the eastern Dakotas, portions of Minnesota, portions of Nebraska and Iowa. That are showing up. And it looks like, at least here in the short term, those areas are going to have very skimpy amounts of precipitation.
And then if you go even further to the east, we've been getting rainfall over the last 24 hours here in parts of Illinois and parts of Iowa. Will that continue?
It will. As the moisture goes around this high through the southwest United States, through the southern and central Rockies, it then is arching east, then southeast across the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes and the eastern Corn Belt, and that's going to lead to some occasional outbreaks of shower and thunderstorm activity. So for the eastern and northern, and let's say the central and eastern Corn Belt areas, precipitation looks good and frequent. It's those western and northwestern areas that are dry and will continue to be that way.
Yeah, so I've tried to talk about this with the listeners as the state lines from the Red River Valley between Minnesota and North Dakota all the way down to Nebraska. That's kind of the area we need to watch.
It is, and that's the area that's directly underneath the high. And what we need for those areas to get wet is for that high to migrate east, allowing the door to open to that moisture to the southwest. But right now, that's where it wants to set up shop, and we'll be watching that movement of the high in the coming days.
Any reason to think it'll move? Sometimes these
It does wobble. It does wobble back and forth, and occasionally it weakens and lets things in. We have seen dry hot periods in late June and early July all of a sudden get extinguished, depending on what that high does. And so we'll hold out hope for that. But at least for the next week, those areas need to anticipate it continuing to be hot and dry.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.